You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 1949 for the creation of the Republic of Ireland. And now it's a bit confusing here, as it always is with history, because this is the official creation of the Republic of Ireland out of the Irish Free State, which had been established in 1921 by the Anglo-Irish Treaty, which is Ireland as we know it today. But it wasn't called the Republic because it was all this kind, because it was technically a dominion like New Zealand is. And there was a lot of controversy about that in the Irish sort of nationalist Republican movement over the people who said, well, just... Because all it really meant is that they had to swear loyalty to the king. And a lot of them said, oh, we're not going to do that. Some of them said, oh, we might as well. So you had a sort of mini civil war about that. But generally, the army did side with the pro-treaty forces.
Some 25,000 troops and civil defence workers parade at the General Post Office in Dublin for inspection by Mr. De Valera, who is accompanied by Major General McKenna on the left and Major General McNeil. Colour party and escort precede the march past, with the President taking the salute on the stand. The fine bearing of the men makes the procession one of the most impressive ever held in the capital. Planes sweep across a clear sky as mechanized troops move forward below. Light Bren carriers lead the way. Armored cars roll leisurely along as if proud to show off their strength. But it's the steady swing of the long line of marchers that makes the picture, the moving cavalcade of Era's own sons in the cause of defence. And still they come, engineers, signals, supply, transport, ACAC and so on, all helping to make a grand spectacle for the dense crowds.
So yes, after this sort of minor civil war in the early 20s, the anti-treaty forces grouped together into the, and I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation here, the Fianna Fáil, which was the sort of more hardline Republican nationalist faction that really gained power in the sort of mid to late 30s and would pursue an official policy of neutrality in World War II.
Some of the military reasons which brought about the joint Anglo-American action to seal Northern Ireland from Axis spies in error. Mr. De Valera's neutrality permits German agents to establish themselves in an easy position for the collecting of vital information. Travel facilities between Great Britain and error and Northern Ireland were swiftly dealt with. The Dublin-Belfast train is pulled up for close inspection by military police and constabulary. Germany and Japan are no respecters of neutrality. Slipping their spies over the border was far too easy. The Allies are much too close to big moves to permit error to jeopardize the success of our operations. The North-South border is sealed. Credentials have to be right. Britain and America take this step to safeguard the lives of their forces. It puts an end to the situation where we work while others peep.
And now then, after World War II, sort of Irish Republican forces would finally emerge very strongly and finally make the country a republic on this day in history, 1949.
408 years after Henry VIII was crowned King of Ireland, Era cuts its last link with Britain. President Seán O'Kelly, the new state's first leader, joins a dense crowd in Dublin's O'Connell Street as the flag of Era is hoisted on the GPO building. Here, as the veterans of the 1916 rebellion still recall, was the headquarters of the Sinn Féin Rising. And here, 33 years later to the day, the new Era officially becomes an independent republic. There follows the biggest military review Dublin has seen for years. Units of the Republican Army parade past President O'Kelly. So comes into being the world's youngest republic. Although out of the Commonwealth, Eyre's many common interests with Britain will still keep the two nations close partners in the years to come.
And the Irish Republic would continue to sort of pursue a quite sort of strong nationalist line, and then you later had the conflict with Northern Ireland, or sort of in Northern Ireland rather, which it's always disputed, you know, to what degree was the Republic of Ireland involved with sort of supporting the IRA in North Ireland. That's of course very controversial, so I'm not going to get into that. So I'll probably just play this clip here to play us out.
President Sean O'Kelly and his lady lead Ireland in a celebration of the Feast of St. Patrick. Highlight of the day in Dublin is the solemn High Mass at the Pro Cathedral. After the Mass, the celebrant of which was the Reverend Dr. McNevin, large crowds greet the Archbishop of Dublin and Primate of all Ireland as he leaves the cathedral, having presided over the service. Following his grace to the presbytery come the President and Mrs. O'Kelly. Rarely has the Day of Ireland's patron saint been so keenly observed. As Mr. O'Kelly and his wife leave the presbytery, the crowds who line the narrow street throng around the presidential car to wish the head of state well. O'Connell Street is a centre of attraction in the afternoon when crowds in holiday mood turn out for a special St. Patrick's Day parade. Headed by girl pipers is a procession of floats displaying Irish produce. Dublin streets are turned into an open industrial fair as, with impressive pageantry, Irish industry shows its march of progress. It's a procession the like of which the capital has not seen for many a year. All the way to Parnell Square, the pageant is cheered by tens of thousands as Dublin and Ireland celebrate a great day in its history.
Now we've had a text sort of picking me up on my pronunciation, saying it's actually Fianna Fáil.
Fianna Fáil.
Which, I mean, all I did was watch a YouTube video of an Irish person saying this is how to pronounce it, so...
Blame it on YouTube.
Yeah, I can't remember their name, but take it up with them.
There we go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.